Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Please take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Tennis Weekly with Joel, Kim and Chris, sponsored by DownloadTennis.com. And welcome to our 2022 end of season festive quiz. Kim, Chris, today is the 28th of November and we are here to look back on the 2022 tennis season in true Tennis Weekly fashion with a quiz. We are all here. I'm already nervous. I'm not going to lie. I feel like my knowledge is going to come very much under the microscope over the next hour or so. We're also going to be talking Davis Cup as well very quickly because we don't have enough content for a catch-up, but we need to shoehorn in Davis Cup because Canada, after 109 years, are the world champions of tennis.
That is a long time, 109 years, a long time to wait, considering when it rains, it pours after they won the ATP Cup earlier this year. So I doubt it'll be another 109 to wait.
It puts like Andy Murray winning Wimbledon after Fred Perry, like very much into perspective, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, that just seems so insignificant now compared to Canada finally winning the World Cup of Tennis. But yeah, well done, Canada. I bet all our Canadian listeners are pretty happy right now. And I bet Casper Ruud fans are also happy because he has managed to get a win over Rafa Nadal.
In the high altitude of Quito.
Yeah, well.
Rafa doesn't like altitude, does he?
I know.
Madrid, exactly.
Blue clay.
Casper loves it.
The altitude curse strikes again.
Casper Ruud's off on an all expenses paid tour of South America at the moment. But yeah, he got a win as part of all of that. So good for him. And as for everyone else still fighting it out in the Davis Cup, it was Canada that came through to get their first ever title in the Davis Cup. We kind of predicted that they were one of the favourites. We said it could be an all English speaking final, and it was because they beat Australia in that final.
With or without Danny Nesta, I should probably add.
Yeah.
Apologies, listeners. I don't know where that came from. I obviously meant Vasek Pospisil in
such
the doubles.
Similar names and similar players with similar ages.
I know, such similar names.
Daniel Nesta, exactly, age 50. Born in 1972.
I mean, he was such a significant player, wasn't he, Daniel Nesta? It's obviously hard for Joel to forget. But yeah, it was Vasek Pospisil. And obviously, Felix Auger-Aliassime doing the stuff for Canada as well as Denis Shapovalov. So quite comfortable, really, wasn't it, in the final? Two rubbers to nil. And obviously, they had reached the Davis Cup final 3 years ago, 2019, lost to Spain. So it's nice that they've kind of finally been able to get over that finish line. And as you said, they won the ATP Cup earlier in the season. So they really are the number one men's tennis country at the moment, really.
I mean, they're getting it done, aren't they? And they should be. When you look at the prediction, I did say to Joel that it was the obvious one to go for. And I thought Australia were in for a good shout. And they put up a good showing. But when you have kind of two of the world's top 20 singles players and some pretty handy doubles players, Grand Slam champion and Vasek Pospisil, I mean, they're going to be tricky to beat.
I mean, one Grand Slam champion that wasn't chosen, though, was the USA, who didn't take Rajiv Ram, which caused some consternation. And then their doubles team of Jack Sock and I think was it Tommy Paul, they lost to Italy and Rajiv wasn't particularly very happy.
It wasn't a good decision, I don't think.
It was an interesting one, wasn't it? Because he talked about Thanksgiving. And he was like, how's everyone's Thanksgiving going on the day that USA lost? And it did feel like they missed a trick with not having Rajiv Ram, particularly given, you know, he'd won with Joe Salisbury in the previous week at the, you know, the tour finals, you know, going undefeated. So yeah, it felt very surprising that he wasn't necessarily there. I understand that it's not always a case of always taking like your highest ranked player, but I feel like missing out on a double specialist of the experience of someone like Rajiv Ram, yeah, it really, I think, it ultimately led to USA's downfall. When you come up against, you know, Fornini and Bellelli, who are a very kind of strong doubles partnership, they play a lot on the tour. You know, they've been very successful on the tour, particularly, I think, this season. You know, it was always going to come under the microscope, you know, if it came down to the doubles, and it's like, where's your best doubles player? Oh, he's back in the United States.
They can't get the doubles pairs right, can they? We have the same thing with Team GB. I think Mardy Fish, when he was asked about his decision for selection, said that, you know, they've got some great doubles players like Jack and Francis are a phenomenal team. And it's like, well, are they compared to Rajiv Ram? Mm. You know, he's won a slam, as you say, end of season finals. It feels like the US took far too many singles players with them and not enough doubles players. And they've got enough talent on the team that if they need to rotate singles players, they can. But people underestimate how important that deciding doubles is. And maybe they just thought they'd get it done in two, go through the whole tournament like that.
I feel like doubles specialists are just underestimated and undervalued, I feel, in general by some nations.
Yeah, in team sports, because people think, I guess, that the singles players can play both singles and doubles, you know, Dan Evans school of thought. But I think we've seen in the recent competitions that having players that play regularly on the doubles tour does make a big difference in those clutch moments.
I think just generally doubles is underestimated full stop, and therefore perhaps the decision making is not always correct, because they don't, doubles just isn't generally given as much consideration. But obviously we know in team events it can be crucial. But Canada obviously chose well, and they had a winning team. They came through against Germany and Italy and then Australia in the final. So all good news for Canadians. And then Felix topping off a fantastic year on the tour with a Davis Cup title to boot. We've got the qualifiers that have been announced for 2023 as well. So before we get onto the quiz, we'll just mention that Great Britain have drawn Colombia. So that'll be taking place in February next year. And is that in Colombia?
Yes.
I think we're going to have to go all the way out there.
I'm already worried, Kim, about food and meat, given the trepidation I feel that players have, particularly in South America, when it comes to eating foods and then having positive drug tests come out like a few months later. So I would just be aware. But yeah, I think Great Britain, generally speaking, start as favourites.
You'd have to say, wouldn't you, Joel? And then hopefully Jack Draper can play in Buenos Aires afterwards, and then Rio pick up some titles before he heads back to Europe.
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be a weird turnaround, I think, it's after Australian Open to go play this tie. I presume it will be like somewhere in like Bogota, like on clay. So it'll be interesting. They only have one player, I think, in the top 300 or so, Daniel Galan.
Daniel Elahi Galan.
Exactly. So I would feel though like we would need to get it done in the singles, because if they have Cabal and Farah playing, that could be quite tricky, I think, if doubles is a big part of it in terms of the tie.
Anything can happen when you're playing for your country. I'm not predicting
quite
a win.
But we've got some other ties, like Germany, we've got Switzerland, France, Hungary, Czech Republic, Portugal. So whole list of them. Serbia against Norway, that could be an interesting one. That'll all be happening in February. But we are here mostly today for our end of season festive quiz. So we hope that everyone's ready to get their competitive juices flowing and to have a crack at the quiz. We've been doing this for a couple of seasons now, and we play along as we go. So I've come up with a third of the quiz, so as Joel, so as Chris. So we'll be playing along for the bits that we haven't come up with. And obviously all of our lovely listeners at home, do play along. Get a pen and paper or go for a walk and shout out in your head as you're going along what you think the answers are. We've got three sections, ATP, WTA, and then we've got a sort of Grand Slam and team competition round as well. And I think potentially a bonus round at the end where anything goes. So there's no Googling. So Joel, Chris, behave while we're doing this. We're not in the same room.
I don't think it's going to make any difference, if I'm being
honest. No sneaking around on your phone. all the answers are pretty much worth one mark. If they're not, we will state that. And I'll be scoring as we go. So, no embarrassment, guys, in advance. If we say some silly answers, like Daniel Nesta, then... You know,
or Ash Barty.
No judgment
or don't
coming,
say Ash Barty.
Coming
don't
from myself. Hang on,
why is it... All these answers seem to be related to me, I swear.
Yes. Well, Joel, we want you to feel comfortable answering questions however you see fit, you know?
I'm almost glad I get to do the first section, so almost like the pressure is off.
I think the pressure is off on you to answer after that.
We did put out on our Twitter who our listeners thought was most likely to win. And Joel, I have to say... Up to the present moment, you didn't get a single answer from anyone thinking.
You didn't even vote for yourself, Joel.
No, I've got no confidence. My confidence is shot.
Well, WTA is pretty tough.
Perhaps you'll pull up a surprise upset. We'll see. But the first round is indeed ATP, which Joel, you have created for us. So it's myself and Chris that are going to be having a crack at this one, along with everyone at home. So I don't know if, without further ado, big drum roll, if we want to kickstart the quiz of 2022.
Joel, just one question before we do start. I hope you haven't ignored doubles. As you said, we just discussed, doubles is very underrated on the tour.
I'm actually looking at my questions, Joel. And I'm not going to lie. I'm hoping you two have brought some doubles questions, because I definitely have not... brought some doubles questions to my list of 10. Apologies, but I do have the first question here ready for you, and it does involve two players, so it's right. One mark for getting both players right.
No half marks,
so
for one,
no half marks. No marks.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Are you ready for the question?
Yeah.
So your first question of Tennis Weekly 2022 quiz is this: which two players ended equal with the most tour titles this season with 5?
That is a good question. And you've got to get both to get the point.
Yes, both to get the point. I know it's quite tricky. There's probably a few candidates.
Is it buzzers?
Here.
I've got the answer. I don't know.
Oh gosh. Well, if it's buzzers, you'll definitely be beating me to it.
I will. Let's alternate. Okay. But Chris, you can go first.
Well, only when Kim's ready, obviously. I don't want to rush anybody.
Okay. Yeah, I've got my two, but I know only one is right.
Shall I go?
Chris, go.
I think it's Carlos Alcaraz and Novak Djokovic.
Oh, okay. I've gone for two completely different answers.
Kim, who have you gone for?
I don't know if one's right actually now. Felix Auger-Aliassime and Rafa Nadal. I don't think Rafa won 5 though, did he?
Interesting. And Kim, you are completely wrong and Chris is completely right.
Yes!
It is Carlos Alcaraz and Novak Djokovic.
Oh dear, I didn't think Novak 5. Had won that many. He didn't play half the year.
I know, that's what I think is so interesting.
He picked up those budget titles at the end of the year, didn't he though? So.
Yeah. It's all about that Astana Open, Kim.
Oh, Israel. Yeah, that's it. Okay,
yes.
One marked Chris.
Right, one marked Chris. Right, Kim, you're going first this time. Second question. Which event this year had to relay its tennis courts due to player protests at how dangerous they were to play on? It's a lot of hoo-ha, I think, about this event, which... was granted a single year license. A little clue there. Yes, I'm looking for a new event to the tour this season.
Yep, I think I know it.
Okay, what's your answer?
I think it is Naples.
Chris?
I also put Napoli.
That is correct, yes. The Napoli Cup officially, but yeah, Napoli, Naples. Yeah, that is the correct answer.
Excellent.
If you took that away from us for saying Napoli and not Naples... That would have been very harsh. Well,
Napoli is even more correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, right. Question three. Chris, your turn to go first. What did Andrei Rublev write on the camera following his advancement to the final earlier this season in Dubai?
Oh, great question.
I know it's like a popular trend for players to write things onto camera lenses in coloured pens afterwards, but I think this one was particularly significant. Chris, do you have an answer?
I don't absolutely know. But did he write peace?
Ooh.
Kim, what are you going for?
He did, but it was no war, I think.
And Chris, you've said peace.
I did. I think Kim's right.
But they amount to the same thing, to be fair.
He didn't actually say the word peace. So I'm going to give the point to Kim because he wrote no war, please.
Do I still get the point?
Yeah, Kim, okay. You get the point there.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, it's tense. Tense. I thought these were sort of gimme questions. Obviously not.
I mean, you did go a bit off court there. I didn't realise it had to be, it wasn't all on court action.
Yeah, that is true, actually. I wanted to get a bit of a
tennis trivia
mix in.
Yep.
But, right. Question four, and this is multiple choice. Who served the most aces on the tour in 2022? And I've got four options for you. Was it Nick Kyrgios, Felix Auger-Aliassime, Hubert Hurkacz, or John Isner?
I'm going to say FAA, just because he's played, I think, more matches than like Hurkacz and Isner. And I'm going to go FAA.
I probably would have gone FAA, but he's played a lot of matches and served a lot of aces. I'm allowed to say the same.
Don't see why not.
You can say the same if you want to.
Is that or John Isner? Shall I go curveball? I'm going to go John Isner.
Oh, Chris. That is correct. It's John Isner.
Oh, really?
Yes.
For
according
God's
to the
sake.
ATP website, I looked this up on. Very, very close. FAA, 890 aces.
Oh, my goodness.
In 81 matches. John Isner, 895 aces in 40 matches.
Oh,
that's a
okay.
lot. I know wow. that he had a match this year where he served like 60 aces or something. So I just hope yeah. he played maybe five yeah. matches this
was
year.
Was it against Andy Murray at Wimbledon?
Oh, was
probably.
It? Sorry.
Okay. Next question. Tim van Rijthoven caused a stir earlier in the season by winning the Libema Open as a qualifier ranked outside the top 200. Where in the final, he defeated the top seed. Who did he defeat in the final? Chris, what's your answer?
I'm not sure, but I think it was Medvedev.
Kim?
I have the same answer.
Oh, you've both gone for the same answer. And you are both correct. Yes, it was Daniil Medvedev who...
Hurrah!
TVR, Tim van Rijthoven, beat
what a win.
In the final. I think it was in straight sets as well, actually. Okay. Sixth question. I think this is pretty tough. There is a clue here, but I'm not sure if I'm going to give it at the moment. But here it is. Juan Martín Del Potro, seemingly, because I don't think he's announced officially his retirement yet, but seemingly played his last ever match at the Argentina Open earlier this year, losing in the first round. Who was his opponent? Do you both want a clue that will maybe help things?
I actually think I know it.
Okay.
Well, I've got an answer.
Okay, I'm not going to give the clue.
Okay.
Chris seems confident, so I'm going to ask him first. What has your gut told you?
I think it was a fellow Argentinian. I think it was Del Bonis or Del Bonis.
Oh, I said
Did
the
you?
Same. I said the same, yeah.
I hope we're right.
Me too.
You out. You did not need the clue because you're both spot on. Federico Delbonis is correct. Yeah, he did like a million drop shots and everyone got really angry at him because it was like, think about Del Potro's knees.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh, his poor knees.
Question 7. Andy Murray secured his first top 5 win since 2016 at the Stuttgart Open to reach the semi-finals. Who was his opponent that he defeated? Kim, what are you thinking?
Oh,
top five player.
I'm having a major brain fart. Who's in the top five?
Ash Barty.
Daniel Nesta.
Daniel Nesta. Yeah. Joel.
He was once upon a time in the doubles. Casper Ruud? No, that's not correct.
Well, I think I remember this one because I think it was a pretty poor showing. Tsitsipas.
Oh, God.
Casper Ruud is the wrong answer. Yes, Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas is right, Chris. You get the point there.
Excellent. Well done, Chris.
Well done, Andy Murray.
Right, question 8. What did Carlos Alcaraz do that no player has ever done before at the same clay court event in Madrid? Chris, I'm going to go to you first.
Okay. This is quite an interestingly worded question. I think he beat Nadal and Djokovic is my answer.
Can you be a bit more specific, I think, is what I would say to that.
Back to back.
Kim?
Yeah. And then he beat Zverev in the final. So I can't remember him beating... Yeah, he beat Rafa in the quarters, didn't he? Novak in the semis and then Zverev in the final. But I had actually put down that he beat two people in one day, which is wrong,
Maybe
I think.
Maybe it's beat numbers 1, 2, and 3 in the world?
Was Zverev 3 then? Maybe. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Together we might get it, Kim.
So Kim, what are you going for, Kim?
Well, I had written down beat two people in one day.
Well, it's interesting you say that because it's the wrong answer. Chris is right. He defeated Nadal and Djokovic back to back, which apparently is the only 12th time that has happened on all surfaces.
Wow!
I was trying to find that out, but I couldn't find the rest of that. I'm assuming Roger Federer has a lot to do with that, but defeated Nadal and Djokovic back to back.
Nice
one. Well done, Carlos.
Right, last two questions. Question number 9. Carlos Alcaraz became the youngest ever year-end world number one this season at 19 years, 214 days. Before him, which player previously held the record? So, year-end world number one.
Okay. I've got an answer.
Okay. Chris, confident. Well, who are you going with?
Well, I think it's Leighton Hewitt.
Kim?
I've gone for Boris Becker.
The answer is Leighton Hewitt. Yes.
Well done,
Joel.
Chris.
20 gave us years a spoiler there. Old. He did give us a spoiler. He said one of the answers have already come up, and I was pretty sure it would have been someone from the Davis Cup.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong. Yes. Australia Davis Cup captain. He was 20 years, 275 days back in 2001. When he became the year-end world number one. So, Leighton Hewitt, correct answer.
A lot younger than I thought he was when he was number one.
Yeah. Okay, my final question is this. Félix Auger-Aliassime broke his tournament title duck this season, but where did he do it? I'm going to go to Kim first this time. So, you know, FAA perennially kind of spoken about him in the past as someone who didn't really turn up for finals, but he did this season. And I think he actually ended on 4 singles titles. But where did he break his duck?
So I immediately wrote down something, which I don't know 100% if it's correct, but I've written down Rotterdam.
Okay.
Because it was around that time of the year, wasn't it?
Okay. And Chris?
I also wrote Rotterdam.
Rotterdam is correct. Yes. Rotterdam.
Yay.
Open. Félix Auger-Aliassime was champion. No bonus points here, but can you tell me who he defeated in the final?
Was it Tsitsipas?
It was Tsitsipas. Yeah, it was. I feel like that court is like one of the darkest courts on the tour.
It's got that weird box where the players. It's almost like a video game.
Behind the players. Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it? But yes, Félix Auger-Aliassime was the champion. So yes, Chris, you get a point there, and so do you, Kim. Kim, I know you've been totting up the scores. What was the Kim versus Chris score after that round?
I have been totting. So Chris has a grand total of 9. Oh, I don't think you only got one wrong, which was the Rublev no war one. So when it comes to tennis, you've aced that. And I got 5.
Who's up next? Well,
so Chris is thoroughly in the lead at the moment. Listeners, I wonder how you've got on at home. Perhaps you've matched Chris or even got full marks. We will see. We do have the WTA round next. So it does mean that Chris temporarily can't answer questions because he's composed this round. So another drum roll, please. Can we please commence with round 2, WTA?
Oh, I'm back in the game.
Well, Joel.
Back in the game.
You've got to really...
My time to shine.
It is your time to shine,
My
Joel.
Time to shine.
The pressure is really on you now.
Google's time to shine.
Joel, do
no
not.
No cheating, Joel.
Some of these
Come
are a
on.
Test, because you probably won't have heard of these players, Joel.
oh, God, here we go.
So, the first question of the WTA round refers to a player that you might have heard of, Joel, Serena Williams. Serena Williams made her comeback playing doubles at Eastbourne, but who did she pick as her partner?
Kim, can I take this one? Because this is probably the only one I can confidently say I actually know the answer to.
You may.
I believe the answer is Ons Jabeur.
Kim?
Is that what you were going to go for, Kim?
That's what I've got. Yeah, that's exactly what I've
that
got.
That is the correct answer.
Yes.
Ons Rena.
One for one.
He is one from one.
Joe, annoyingly, I got offered a ticket for that day, but from what I remember, there were really bad train strikes, just impossible to get to. It's just impossible to get to Eastbourne. So begrudgingly, I had to say no to it. Yes.
I mean, that you shouldn't admit that in the podcast, Joe. I remember I texted you being like, "You find a way."
I know.
Serena's playing.
you hitchhike if you need to.
I think I did say something like that. So, well done for getting a question right, Joel. Question 2.
Are you nervous, Kim? You scared?
I'm terrified.
You sound it, Kim. Question 2. Which player had an extraordinary run of 18 consecutive Grand Slam third round performances that ended at this year's US Open?
Yes.
Ooh, I'm liking these so far.
Me too.
They get harder. Kim.
Elise Mertens, I think.
What did you go for, Joel?
Yeah, that was my... I was going to go for Elise Mertens as well, yeah.
That is the correct answer. Elise Mertens has made at least the third round at every slam since her 2018 semi-final in Australia. And she lost this year to Begu in the first round. So, great run. All good things come to an end. Just like Joel doing badly at this quiz, hopefully.
I was thinking that. When is that happening? I'm nervous.
Yeah, it's two for two. Well, another question I think Joel's got a chance at actually is... Harriet Dart had a career best season. Which top 10 player did she knock out in the first round of the US Open this year? This is a question that might be a bit harder for some of the non-British fans who might not have paid quite as much attention to this one.
Oh, that is tricky.
Joel, would you like to...
I recall watching this one.
I want to say, I don't think this is right because I thought it happened later on, but maybe I'm wrong. Daria Kasatkina?
And Kim?
That's what I've got.
That was
for.
Round one, correct.
Oh, there was round one. Oh, okay.
Very well done.
3 from 3, Joel, so far.
Goodness.
I mean, she was completely knackered. I mean, they both were, weren't they?
It was a long, tough one.
After that match.
It was a long, old, hot match.
Well, moving on to question 4. Iga may have had the longest winning streak of the century at 37, but which player ended 2022 undefeated?
How can you end the season undefeated?
Well, Kim, you got to think quickly because it's coming to you first.
Okay. Caroline Garcia.
And Joel?
Surely everyone's lost one match this year.
I'm going to have to ask you for an answer, Joel.
Undefeated. Venus Williams.
The correct answer. It's happened again, Joel. I'm really sorry. It's Ash Barty.
Oh, what a question that is.
She won the first tournaments she played
she
this year.
She didn't win a match. Lose a match. Oh, and then
exactly
retired.
That.
Oh, Kim, you were ready to get your claws out there. You were like, the question is wrong.
What I like, though,
it does not make any sense.
If in doubt, straight to Caroline Garcia.
She was Ash undefeated Barty. At the end, technically.
Yes, Ash Barty. She had a clean season, not a single loss. I think she was 11-0. And
wow.
So, Joel, unfortunately, as we said, all good things come to an end. And another Ash Barty incident for the podcast. So until
I'm
next year.
I'm disappointed with that. Yeah. I think if I had thought long and hard about that, I wouldn't have got it either way.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So don't be too hard on yourself.
An Ash Barty incident.
So that means we can technically still talk about Ash Barty in 2023 at the quiz. Question 5. Which player had a surprise 12-match winning streak on the grass courts of the UK?
I know. I think I've got this.
Well, we're coming to
this
you first, Joel.
Shocking.
If Kim's got an answer.
I've got one. I think I saw this player at Surbiton. I think, is it Beatrice Haddad-Meyer?
Kim?
I've got Beatrice Haddad-Meyer as well.
It's the correct answer. She won in Nottingham, yes. Birmingham, and had a run to the semi-finals of Eastbourne. It was ended by Petra Kvitova in straight sets. So well done, well done.
Yeah.
Nice one.
And then she didn't do very well at Wimbledon, I seem to recall, despite being on a really good run.
I'm pretty sure she lost in the first round, I'm going to say.
Yeah. I think you're right. Maybe I'm imagining things seeing her at Surbiton. I know that's a level below on the WTA side, but I swear I saw her there, but maybe not.
So you predicted this. Is this what this is? You're suggesting that because you managed to...
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, you heard it here first, podcast listeners. Question 6. The tour made an unusual move and it stopped twice in Guadalajara in 2022. For 1 point, can you name both champions? It's not a good noise you just made, Joel.
I'm struggling to name one of the champions.
It's not Ash Barty.
I remember it was someone...
Oh, yes, I've got two answers, but I don't know if they're correct.
We will go to Kim.
Kim, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go first here.
Whilst he Googles.
I've got Garbiñe Muguruza and Maria Sakkari.
Joel, have you got any names for us?
I think it is Sakkari who won the 1000 event. I'd maybe beat Kvitova in the final. I'm gonna say Sakkari and Kudermetova.
Well,
I think Muguruza won the thing last year, actually.
Only one of you have named a player who's won in Guadalajara, but they won in 2021, so not a great round. The correct answer was Sloane Stephens. I can't believe you forgot Sloane and Jessie Pegula, who won the 1000, where she beat Sakkari in the final.
God.
And guys, that was last month. That literally was last month. It's been a long season.
Well, it just
season.
Shows how much tennis there is.
Yeah, it's been a long season. Fair enough.
I swear Kvitova did well at that tournament, and so did Azarenka, because everyone was like, why do these players play well
Azarenka
at the end of the season and not?
Didn't do badly there. Kvitova reached the final, I think, in Cincinnati and lost to Garcia in that one. So
okay.
You might be thinking
okay.
of that one.
Yeah.
We're going to move on, and there's the doubles representation now. So Katerina Siniaková and Barbora Krejcíková won 3 of the 4 Grand Slams this year. Which slam didn't they win? And who did win it for 1 point?
Oh, that's
tough.
That is very tough.
Watching you squirm.
I know.
We at Joel first this time, I believe. So you might need a little minute.
Okay. I'm going to say they did not win. I believe it was the French Open. And the winners were...
I know you're going to say.
Pass. I,
Go on, say it.
I want it's one word, Joel.
You can do it.
Think of that big word.
Oh, we're going to have to move on, Joel. Kim.
Is it Coco Goff? Coco Goff and someone? Goff and McNally.
Put him out of his misery, Kim.
Goff and Pegula.
It was the start of the Renaissance.
The start of the Renaissance.
It was Garcia Mladenovic.
It was indeed.
Oh, Mladenovic.
But Coco and Pegula, I think they did win the first set in that final. So that's actually some pretty...
Were they in the final?
Some pretty decent knowledge of doubles from Joel. So that's not an embarrassing effort by any means. And it was obviously the French Open. This question.
So Kim gets the point there.
Yes, Kim does get the point there. I hope Kim is also scoring this section. I'm just saying questions.
Oh, I am. I definitely am. And I've taken the lead against
Joel.
Well
done. So this question is purely for Joel. But Kim, also please answer it. I thought I'd throw him a bone at this stage of the round in case he was doing particularly badly. Question 8. The longest match of the year occurred at Tennis in the Land in Cleveland, and it was just shy of 4 hours. Can you name any player, well, any of the two players that took part in that match?
So we only need to name one of the two
in the longest
match. I feel like
match.
Me and Kim... Me and Kim,
surely we'll get there.
Me and Kim surely have got the same... We're on the same wavelength here.
I can't think of the other player, though.
And I believe Kim is starting this one, Joel, just to...
Okay,
stop you there.
Right.
Oh, okay. So one of them surely has got to be Sara Sariba's tour. <Joel? laughs>
Yeah, I was. My head was exactly the same. I was going to say SST. Gotta be.
SST.
It's gotta be.
You are completely right. SST did come out on top in that match. She beat Camila Osorio 7-6, 4-6, 6-3. And it was 3 hours and 55 minutes.
Wow.
That one. Yeah, the seventh longest match in the Open era. And I believe she has many more on that list. So, well done.
I think you're right.
To you both. The next question, I figured it was only fair.
It's all to play for.
It's all to play for. I thought it was only fair that I gave Joel a special question, that I gave Kim a special question. So this is the Linda speed round.
Hang on, we've already had Caroline Garcia as an answer.
No.
What
this is the Linda
special
speed
Kim
round.
Questions
Her
can favorite we have?
Players to talk about are the Lindas. So which Linda was the youngest WTA title winner this year? Was it Linda Noskova, or Linda Frivitova?
That is a great question.
A battle of the Lindas.
That's really good.
And this is Joel, I think, has to kick this one off.
I'm going to say, just because I think Frivitova has been on the tour a little bit longer, so maybe she's a little bit older, I'm going to go Noskova.
Ooh, I was going to go Frivitova.
Kim, you've done me proud. It is Frivitova
who
won the title.
Oh, no.
At age 17 years and 141 days. So she's the youngest titleist of the season.
So, nightmare.
Well done her. And they both finished the year inside the top 100, which is super nice for them. And then I believe this is my final question. Kim, you can tell me if we've had 9 so far. I believe we have. This is another multiple choice question. Sabalenka was the self-proclaimed queen of the double faults, serving a tour leading 428. That's over 130 more than any other player on the tour. Caroline Garcia was the ace leader. Did Caroline Garcia serve more or less aces than Sabalenka served double faults?
Ooh, so this is like true or false?
Yes. More or less aces from Garcia.
I've got an idea, I think.
I'm going to say less aces. Sabalenka served a lot of double faults. And I think it's easier to serve a double fault than serve an ace. So I'm going to go less.
Oh, sorry. Is the question not she's served more aces than Sabalenka's aces?
The question, did Caroline Garcia serve more or less aces than Sabalenka served double faults?
Oh, sorry. Oh, less in that case.
You've both gone less?
I agree.
Garcia served 394 aces. So you are both correct.
Yes.
Woo. Well done to you both, Joel. You've done much better in that round than I expected. How did he score?
I don't think I beat... Not enough to beat Kim, though, I don't think.
So, yeah, you're right, Joel. I got 8 and you got 6. 6.
Okay.
So that's actually, yeah, decent effort.
So what's your combined score?
So at the moment, oh God, now I've got to do maths. I'm on 13. Chris is on 9 from one round. I'm on 13 from two rounds. And you're on 6 from one round. Ooh. But I've got my questions for you guys next. So we're just going to take a quick break. Listeners, go and make yourself a cup of tea, reset your brains, and we'll be back for the second half very, very shortly.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Tennis Weekly with Joel, Kim and Chris, sponsored by DownloadTennis.com. And now we're on to the second half of the end of season quiz. It's part 3, which means it's time for Grand Slams and team events. We've done our ATP and WTA rounds. So I hope everyone is feeling refreshed and ready to go for part 2.
Chris, I feel like the only question here is how many I'm going to lose by.
I think that is definitely a question. Kim has set a benchmark. you need to get 7 to be ahead of Kim.
Okay.
I think if you do get 5, I'll be impressed, Joel.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of feel that Chris is so... Well, I think, yeah, Chris would have to have a shocker here to...
Don't say that. What if I do? So...
Okay, right. Are we ready for the first question?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Which country did Canada defeat in the final of the ATP Cup at the start of the season?
Are we going chronologically, Kim?
We are, okay. Actually.
I've got an answer for that.
Pretty
one.
Pretty much. Chris?
Oh, is Joel ready?
Ooh, sounds like Joel's still umming and ahhing.
Okay, I think I've got an answer. I don't think it's right.
Okay, Chris, would you like to give
I'm
us your
I'm pretty sure it was Spain.
Thoughts? Joel, what have you gone for?
I was going to say Russia Tennis Federation.
Oh, because it was before the war. Well, I'm afraid to say, Joel, that Chris is correct and you are
afraid
wrong.
Afraid to say. Very pleased to say.
I don't
want to
hurt Joel's feelings now. Okay, 1 point, Chris. Question 2. What is the name of the Australian immigration minister who rescinded Novak Djokovic's visa at the start of the year, thus denying him the chance to compete at the 2022 Australian Open?
That is a great question.
That is an impossible question, Kim.
But we have...
This is a tennis podcast. This isn't an Australian politics podcast.
I do actually know it, though, Joel.
But we did speak at length.
I do know it.
Did you
not
stay up to watch the court case?
No.
I did watch it live, so I actually know this, Joel.
Oh God, I've drawn a blank here. I've got zero idea. I think his name was Chris.
Yeah,
was his name Chris actually?
Chris.
No, it wasn't. Chris, would you like to tell us who you've gone?
I thought it was Alex Hawke.
Correct.
Oh my God.
No, but we did mention him the other day, Joel, because he got replaced in May by someone else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He got binned off. Okay.
I got an off-court question. I finally have redeemed myself for the Rublev comment.
That's the Australian Open out the way.
Wait, that's the whole
right,
of the Australian
number
Open.
Three. Well, I've got 8 more questions on other slams and whatnot. How many games were lost to Casper Ruud in the Roland Garros men's singles final, which saw Rafa Nadal win his 14th French Open?
That is
quite specific.
There wasn't many. That's all I know.
I always do tough questions.
Tough questions.
Do we have to get it spot on, or is there closest to gets the point?
No,
or...
spot on. I'm being quite harsh with this one.
Shall I? I think it was 6-2.
Yeah, Chris,
do you want to lead?
I think
it was 6-2, 6-4, 6-love. So I'd say six games. Wait, how many were lost? Six, I'd say.
Yeah, how many were lost?
Six.
Joel, any thoughts? What's your answer?
I'm going to go five. Five games.
Oh, so it is six games.
This is getting funny. This is great. I'm loving these questions.
Oh my God.
This is going to be a bagel anytime soon, I swear.
It was 6-3, 6-3, 6-love.
I wasn't right there.
Not quite on the exact set scores, but yeah.
Poor Chris.
Sorry.
Right. Question four. How many consecutive wins did Iga Świątek achieve with her victory in the Roland Garros final in June 2022? So this isn't the total, not just as a sort of clue, this isn't the total number that her streak ran to, but what number did she get to with victory at the French Open?
That is not an easy question.
Sorry, this quiz got harder as it went on.
Who's going to go first for this one?
I'm going to go first because I'm not confident. I'm going to say... I think she did hit 20. I'm going to say 21.
Oh, okay. Chris?
Right. Well, that's a bit of a curveball. I know I shouldn't be using Joel's answer to think about, but I was going to say...
No, absolutely not.
I would stick to your gut feeling, Chris.
Okay, good.
Brutal.
I think it's probably something like 34.
Ooh. It's 35.
Oh, no.
So close.
In your face, Chris.
But Joel, you were so far off.
Yeah.
But she got to 37 wins in total. So she got another two after that. And was it Garcia that ended
it? I think
it
must have been
in the Poland Open.
It must have been the...
Oh no, Wimbledon.
Then she went
sorry,
back,
yeah.
I think it was, Wimbledon. That's why I went for 34 because I thought it was three wins to get to whatever round she lost in Warsaw, but actually it was two because she lost in the third round of Wimbledon to Cornet. That's what Joel was tossing up between as well, I'm sure.
Yeah,
clearly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
21. It was all part
was
of my train of thought.
Right, question five of round three. Who did Britain's Katie Balter beat in a three-set second-round victory on centre court at Wimbledon this year? So slightly British biased here, but she beat a seeded player on centre court in the second round. Who was that player?
That is a great question. I know who she lost to that year, but I think I'm up first, aren't I, this time? So I will say...
Yes, Chris, give me your answer.
It's a player that she's played quite a few times on the grass court season this year, and I'm pretty sure it was Pliskova.
Which Pliskova, for the purposes of being specific?
The one who is not currently with child, Karolina Pliskova.
Joel, what were you going to say for this one?
I was also actually going to say Karolina Pliskova. I'm like 95% certain on that, but yeah, Pliskova.
Okay, you are both correct.
Done.
Congratulations.
I remember the video where they walked out onto the new entrance of Centre Court and Pliskova went the old way and Katie Balter was like, what are you doing?
That's why I remember
that. That's why I remember
it
as well.
It was pretty hilarious. Yeah.
Excellent. Right, question six. Which two British men's doubles players featured in the US Open men's doubles final? And you have to get both names to get the point. So I want both British men's doubles players.
I've got this, I think. Joe Salisbury and Neil Skupski.
Chris?
I also went for Joe Salisbury and Neil Skupski.
Excellent work. Both
a
correct.
Doubles question.
And who, just as an aside, which of them won the doubles title?
Salisbury.
Correct. But that's not actually.
I've just added 2 points there for me, no? No?
Question seven. Right. Which player did Serena Williams lose to in the third round of Flushing Meadows in the final singles match of her career?
To date, Kim. To date. We'll see her in Australia. Yes.
To date. To date. To date. Before her... what was she calling it? Migration to
was
something
evolving
else.
Yes. Away, evolving away.
Evolving away.
Evolution.
Yes.
That was it. Evolution.
Chris, I know you know this, so I'm actually going to just sort of go ahead of you, if that's okay.
Of course.
I believe it was Aya Tomjanovic.
Chris, did you have
it
the
was.
Same?
Yep, exactly the same.
Correct. And yeah, it was three sets, 5-7-6. Sorry, 5-7-7-6-6-1 to
I'm
Tomjanovic.
A bit gutted when you started that question that it wasn't, I don't get to say Harmony Tan on this podcast.
Oh, well, you've just said it now. And who knows? She may feature or she may not in the next three questions. Right. Right, we've got a Billie Jean King Cup finals question for you now.
Oh, here we go. We've been both there.
You are the experts. How many singles matches did Switzerland win at this year's Billie Jean King Cup finals on their way to victory?
Wait, I'm going to need a minute to figure this one out. Can I do some maths?
For you.
Wait, yeah.
You can all do some maths. And Chris, you give me your answer when you have it. You're leading on this one.
So, I'm just working out round by rounds as to how I'm going to do this. This is really hard.
I do love a difficult quiz question. Listeners will know that I do tend to up the difficulty somewhat sometimes. I'm quite mean. I do apologise.
Okay, so...
Chris, all right, give me your answer.
I am going to say... Oh, this is really difficult. I actually am going to say that they didn't lose a singles. So I'm going to say...
So how many would that mean in reality?
So it'd be four in the group, a semi... So it'd be eight. I'm saying eight.
Joel, what are your thoughts? What's your answer?
I'm not confident they just walked it all the way through. I'm going to say... I know Belinda Bencic was... in pretty decent form. I'm gonna say six.
So Chris, you know, it was actually eight. They didn't lose a single singles match. So Bencic won all four of hers, Golubic won two, and Jill Teichman also won two. So they were undefeated in singles.
It
dominant.
Went, it went very long.
Court. That was tough, Kim.
That went very that was a I think I'd have been pushed for an answer on University Challenge there.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You're very
well,
patient with us.
I would have been a Jeremy Paxman and told you to hurry up. Right. So the next two questions. I've done a lot of numerical questions.
No.
I do apologise. I will give you points for like either side on this one, I think. So I'll read the question out first. Felix Auger-Aliassime's win in the final of the Davis Cup against Alex de Minaur meant he ended the season with the most tour-level wins for any Canadian player in ATP history. How many tour-level wins did he achieve in 2022? So I will give you a point if you get within like... two on either side of the total.
Not a point for closest
wins.
Out of the two of us.
Oh
no, actually in fairness, that's not in Kim's interest because then one of us gets a point. So Kim can decide.
That's
yeah,
true.
If she gives
yeah,
us
I'm,
one.
I'm gonna stick with what yes. I just said. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with that. So have a think. And Joel, let me go to you first on this one.
I am gonna say I think because in my research, I feel like I came across this. I think it is...
In your research? Sorry.
About...
Sorry, research? Wait. Wait,
do you
what?
Mean Googling?
What is this, Joel?
I think it's something around 81.
81 matches?
Chris.
This explains a lot about your research, Joel. That would be the highest of all time, probably, I think. 81.
No, hang on. You can't do it again. 61.
You know,
he played 81 matches.
Just,
it was 61.
He can't change it again. Now he's gone back to his Google page.
You've just given me your answer.
I'm going to go 59.
Chris, what's your answer? So I'm so sorry, Joel, but Chris gets the point because the answer was 60.
Yeah, I thought, oh, so annoying.
Wait, but
he was 60. I remember, no, the stat I saw was, I think he was one.
Just
like,
read it
60,
from the page, Joel. It's in front of you. Come on.
Lost 29. He had played 80 or 81 matches, which was like the third most by player in one tour season or something.
But weirdly, and this is surprising, that the tour leader for wins is Stefanos Tsitsipas of 61
this year.
I
would have guessed that because
he
plays every single tournament. Like, he played so many tournaments.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously like Djokovic and Alcaraz, I guess they, and Nadal, you think about top five players, they all had periods where they haven't been playing.
Choose their schedule.
Yeah.
So my last question.
Come on, Joel.
Oh, hang on. Did I just give you the point for that one, Chris?
Yes.
Yes, I need to give you that point.
Kim, it makes a difference.
Right. One last question for the quiz.
Here we go.
How many drinks did Nick Kyrgios say the female fan in the crowd had drunk during his Wimbledon final against Novak Djokovic? The fan later attempted to sue him for defamation. But how many drinks did he say that she drank? And I'm going to give you the point if you are within 50 on either side.
Okay.
Interesting.
Well, I was going to say a billion drinks, but within 50, I think that probably isn't the number, given that range. And then I was going to say 50, but I'm thinking, if it was 50, zero, you wouldn't really get the point for that, would you? So I'm going to say 200.
Joel, what's your answer?
I am going to say, do you know, I think I actually, in the back of my heart, just because it's alcohol related, I feel like I
maybe this is you your section. This is your section.
I want to say, it was higher than 200. I think it was 700.
No way, Joel. No
Joel.
Way.
Is it?
Yes, it is 700 yeah. drinks.
Did he?
Oh,
the booze
rounds. That is typical.
The alcohol has helped me out here.
I should have done a whole round on what is the price of Pimm's at Wimbledon or something.
Yeah.
Right. Well done, Joel. You got that one correct. So
was it last question wins the whole quiz? Yeah.
We wish.
Yes, indeed, Joel.
So in that round, Joel, you got 5 and Chris got 8. So in total scores from our perspective, it's based on the fact that we've done 2 rounds each. Mm-hmm. Joel brings up the rear with 11 points. And
I'll take it.
Then I'm not that far ahead of you, Joel. I got 13. And Chris wins with 17 points.
Wow.
Well done, Chris.
Woo!
Amazing.
Listeners, your scores are out of 30. So do total up your scores. Let us know what you got. Love to hear how difficult or easy you found that. Or maybe it was just the right balance. Any questions you particularly enjoyed. But yeah, that's certainly, I think I love doing the quizzes because it really does give you time to reflect on some of the
on the alcohol consumed by fans at Wimbledon.
Exactly.
At Wimbledon, yeah.
The most important topics of the season.
Does get Ash Barty, does get the exact number of drinks at Wimbledon.
And what better way to end a quiz than with one of our favourites, Par for the Courts, guys. I've got a Par for the Courts, Christmas-themed Par for the Courts.
Oh,
theme
no.
Both. It's a back and forth between Kim and Chris, and listeners, of course, you can play along, and you know, you could actually probably guess the topic based on the fact that we're looking back on the season. But my subject area for you both is ATP Tour singles title winners in 2022. There are 38 players in total who won a trophy on the tour this season. So I'm thinking 250s, I'm thinking 500s, ATP 1000 events and Grand Slams. 38 players collectively won all of those. And I'm going to ask Kim to kick us off.
That's very tough, but we'll go with it. And I think it's a nice way to end the year with a nice challenging par for the courts. So I'm going to go with, are we counting Grand Slams?
Yep. 80,
men's, okay.
Yep.
Rafa Nadal.
Novak Djokovic.
Carlos Alcaraz.
Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Holger Rune.
Casper Ruud.
Andrei Rublev.
Cam Norrie.
Tim van Rijthoven.
I was waiting for that. Yes, on the list.
Taylor Fritz.
Oh, I was just about to say him.
Very good. Correct.
Pablo Carreño Busta.
Correct. PCB on the list.
David Goffin.
I thought no one was going to get that, but yes.
I'm just showing off now.
What did he win?
He won a 250 out of the year. It was out of nowhere.
I just had someone in my brain and it's gone. Nick Kyrgios.
Correct. Yes, Nick Kyrgios on the list.
Matteo Berrettini.
Brandon Nakashima.
That is a really good one. I watched this match. Francisco Cerundolo.
Aslan Karatsev.
Oh, Kim.
Kim, that is impressive.
That is outrageous.
Was that a guess? I remember
he beat Andy Murray in the Sydney final.
Yes, very good,
he?
Very good.
I think we've reached Karatsev. A point where Kim likes to just start saying Russian names and hoping, you know.
Karatsev, correct answer.
Maxime Cressy.
Dan Evans.
Dan Evans. Incorrect.
Oh, Kim. No. I thought he won one before AO. Was that 2021?
Dan Evans not on the list.
God.
No. I can't give you Dan Evans, I'm afraid.
Okay. Oh. Fair dues. Fair dues.
Lost it on a Brit. That's not a good way to go.
I was contemplating Tsitsipas.
Did we not say Tsitsipas?
Would have been a more sensible.
I don't think you said
Tsitsipas.
I don't think you said Daniil Medvedev either.
Oh, goodness. Sinner, we should have said as well.
Sinner, yeah. Yannick Sinner.
Oh, Borna Koric, of course. They're all coming to us. We have so many to give.
Yep, all of those correct.
Koric, yeah.
You could have said RBA as well, Kim.
I was going to go for a cheeky Sonego.
Oh, yeah, he probably won one.
Yep, Sonego on the list.
Jensen Brooksby?
No Jensen Brooksby. You could have had Gael Monfils at the very
Nishioka
start of the year.
Nishioka we could have had because he won in...
You could have had Nishioka. You could have had Kokkinakis.
Oh, yeah, Adelaide.
Oh, right at the start.
Alexander Bublik, who I believe beat Zverev.
Oh, that was a good match.
Was it Lyon? Was it in Lyon, maybe? It's early on in the season. Kim, golden swing names for you. Ramos. Sousa.
What about Christian Garin? Did he win one?
No, Christian Garin.
Oh,
but you could
Baez.
Have had...
He won one.
Yep. Sebi Baez. Yeah. Pedro Martinez.
Oh, God.
Who else could you have had?
Delbonis?
No, Delbonis. No. So, Musetti.
Oh, Musetti won in Hamburg. Yep. I remember.
Yeah.
I was
Borna Coric. There's two left.
Shapovalov?
No, Shapovalov.
He lost in the final this year.
Manarino.
No.
Oh, God.
Surely not.
Yeah.
Where did he
on
win?
On the list.
That must have been second week of a slam, surely.
Oh.
Too hard.
And the final player, which was probably the most difficult, would have been a pointless answer, no doubt. From Switzerland.
From Hesler? Henry Laxinen.
Mark Hussler.
That was very late on in the season, wasn't it?
He beat Holger, didn't he? Was that Sofia?
Yeah, I think so.
I bet he feels better about that win now.
Yeah. Did we say Alex de Minaur?
Nope.
We did not.
Yeah, Alex de Minaur. So, yeah. Monfils, Nadal, Karatsev, Kokkinakis, Bublik, Ramos, Sauser, FAA, Riley Opelka, Casper Ruud, RBA, Carlos Alcaraz, Andrew Rublev, Cam Norrie, Martinez, Fritz, Goffin, Tsitsipas, Baez, Rune, Djokovic, Tim van Rijthoven, Berrettini, Hercash, Serendolo, Musetti, Cressy, Sinner, Alex de Minaur, Kyrgios, Medvedev, PCB, Chorich, Manorino, Sonego, Nakashima, Nishioka, and Hussler. Those were your 38 singles champions on the ATP Tour this season.
Wow.
Woo! That well is done, quite the 38. That doesn't include Dan Evans. Now.
And it doesn't include Dan Evans.
You have to try hard,
Kim,
to find someone who didn't win one, Kim.
Yeah, I know. Well, Kim did do that, to be fair to her.
She did. It was impressive to manage that.
well done, guys. And I think that brings us to a close for our 2022, most of our episodes, doesn't it? We might have a few potential surprise bonus ones, but for the main part, we are done for the year.
Yes, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed listening to this quiz, the 2022 Tennis Weekly quiz, recapping the season. And any of our listeners also who've been able to take a listen to any of our catch-ups or our Tennis Weekly meets or book club series, as well as our Slam round by rounds. Anyone who's just supported us generally throughout the year, we really appreciate you taking the time to have a listen to our episodes. We are going to be taking a well-earned break. There may be a couple of announcements coming up over Christmas, so keep your eyes peeled for that. But this will be our last de facto episode before the year is out. Kim and Chris, any final words for our listeners?
Just an early happy Christmas to those of you celebrating. It will soon be upon us, and we'll be back ready for all of the exhibitions that occur over the new year, I guess, or in the new year itself for the Australian Open.
There's a lot to cover, aren't there?
And they'll be on, you know, they'll be here before we know it. So, yeah, just I think looking forward to the next couple of weeks of resting and, looking forward to a new season upon us in the not too distant future. But thank you to everyone for listening.
You took that a very different way than I was going to take it there, Kim. I was going to say I'd like to thank everyone who supported me for this win. last year I was doing this quiz from home, and this year I'm winning it on the podcast. Aww. So it's I've come a long way, and thank you for this.
I just need to get back in the quiz books, the tennis quiz books, I feel, for the end of next season already.
Some more reliable research, please.
Yeah, how shocking my score was. But yes, listeners, we're gonna cap it there. Merry Christmas from us at Tennis Weekly HQ. I know it's not even December yet, but I'm saying it now. And we look forward to seeing you for the 2023 season. One final time, I'm going to say subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the major podcasting platforms out there. You can also listen to us on the DownloadTennis.com app. And if you want to show your support for the show, then why not leave us a rating or comment on Apple Podcasts or Spotify?
You can also follow us on social media. We are available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Tennis Weekly Pod. So do give us a like and a follow if you don't already. Let us know any feedback, comments, questions for our mailbag, and more on those social channels. And if you prefer, you can also email us at tennisweeklypod@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out our website, www.tennisweekly.co.uk.
And we will be back in the new year at Tennis Weekly HQ for the 2023 season. So I hope you could join us for that. But for one final time, it's goodbye from Kim.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from Chris.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. We'll see you again soon. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.